Hey folks, my name is John Meehan, and this is Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related that I literally record on my way home from work as a high school instructional coach. I love my job, I love what I do, and I love talking about things that will make me get better at it. And if you're anything like me, I'm sure you find traditional professional development to be kind of taxing, kind of frustrating, in some ways, kind of useless. Traditional PD, we find, has only about a 5% efficacy rate when delivered with the large group one-size-fits-all model, but working embedded with instructional coaches, that jumps to about 85% implementation because it feels like a dialogue. It feels like we're listening to each other, and it feels like we're working together, that we're responding to challenges as they come up, giving feedback and meaningful, like, forward-moving trajectory, and that's what these podcasts are designed to do. So in about 10 minutes each week, I do talk about one topic with the goal of putting a thing in your hands that you can walk into Walmart or walk into Target and for 10 bucks or less, put it in your classroom, or just good old fashioned pencil and paper or a pedagogy or a website you can steal today that costs you nothing and that you can literally put into your classroom by second period this afternoon. So let's talk today about one of my favorite toys for the classroom. If you want to continue the conversation, please do. I would love to hear how you're using it in your classrooms. I'm on Twitter at MeehanEDU. That's at, like, the at symbol, Meehan, like my last name, and EDU, like teaching, because I really do like teaching, and I would love to continue this dialogue with great teachers who are doing great things and hear about how you're using the same in your classroom. But let's roll with this one, because this week we're talking about one of my favorite teacher toys that's not designed as a teacher toy, but it totally works as a teacher toy, and I think for like $8 you can make it work in your classroom too. And it's a thing called Rory's Story Cubes. If you don't know what Rory's Story Cubes are, or if you've never been exposed to them, think dice, but instead of pips or dots on the sides of them, you just have funny little pictures, almost like little emoji. The dice come in sets of 9, and they're sold. You can get them on Amazon, you get them at Target, you get them at Walmart, and they're pretty cheap, like $8 for a set of these dice. The dice, if I've done the math real quickly, there are 6 sides to every cube, so that makes 6, and then there are 9 dice in the set for a total of 54 little emojis or pictures in all. What's great about the story cubes is they don't really mean anything. It's up to you to make meaning out of what is rolled on the dice. A million different ways you can make this happen in your classroom, and I'll come up with some, you know, examples here for you, but I would love to hear how you're using Rory's story cubes in the class, because this could work from kids as young as 5 and 6 all the way up to high school level students, and it's a great thing for writing prompts. It's a great thing for skill building and metaphors. It's a great thing for unit review, and it's so unexpected. Students tend to really buy in. The way that the dice work, just like any other dice, you shake them up in your hand, you shake them off the box, and you roll them. And then as they land on the table, you'll see a total of 9 different pictures that are facing the top. Certainly, you can split the set in half so that you'd have, like, you know, 4 sets of 2 and then an oddball or whatever you wanted to do. But I really do like it that the sets themselves, the dice feel good in your hands. They're, like, significant in their weight. They have the little rounded corners, so they roll nicely. They don't feel cheap or flimsy or plasticky at all. They feel like a good die should feel. And then as you roll them, you get these random pictures that are facing the top of the cube, the die. And now it's up to the student to make sense of what these pictures mean as it relates to a prompt question. So you could say something as simple in a creative writing class for age, you know, 7. Hey guys, roll the dice. I want you to write a story today. And I want you to roll these dice, and you have to include in your story elements from at least 9 of these things. So you have 9 different pictures. Maybe you have like a dog barking, or a mirror, or a man jumping, or a tree. And now that's the prompt, or the sort of genesis for the type of thing that makes its way into your story. And as a creative writing prompt at a very, very, you know, fundamental level. Once upon a time, there was a dog. The dog started to bark, and it made a man go run away. That man ran, and the dog chased after him, and the man ran up a tree. Boom. Just like that, a student is interacting with visual media, and they're saying that writer's block, well, I don't know what to write about. It's done there for them. They're really just doing a Mad Libs, connecting the dots between each of the visual prompts that they're seeing there on the table. At a very young level, at a very fundamental level, that's a great way to encourage literacy skill and development, because what we find with literacy is it's not about
what a student is reading. It's about just the sheer number of pages that they're moving through, and that they feel comfortable writing words down and then feeling comfortable interacting with words, even if it's about something that's simple. They're gradually building up the skills to read harder words and read longer things and read more complex passages. So you're demystifying the reading and the writing process for students, which is really, really a valuable thing. If you wanted to be a little bit more clever or a little bit more cagey about it, and this is for, like, you know, a harder type assignment, I've done something like, all right, guys, we just read Emily Dickinson's poetry. We read a few poems. We learned a little bit about her life. It's great if you've just done, like, an ed puzzle or, like, a flipped assignment where the students were to go home and watch something and then come back into class. And then it's up to them to deliver what they know about that thing. So you went home and watched a video on Emily Dickinson's life. Fantastic. Roll the dice. I want you to roll the dice. And whatever comes up on these die, I want you to be able to tell me her life story. But you have to tell me a thing that is true. And you have to use the dice that come up to help tell you that story. Suddenly, students have to come up with all sorts of crazy metaphors to make these things work. They had, like, I was doing one set, and the students rolled a castle, a dragon, I think, like, a mirror, and a bunch of other symbols. But what stood out to me is, like, the students said, you know, there's the story of Emily Dickinson. She was a very reflective poet. Hey, there's the mirror one spoken for here. But she was also a recluse. Even though her poetry had the ability to breathe fire because it was really passionate, and she felt that the color white was a very passionate color, like a white hot flame. So again, they're tying in the dragon piece of it. She lived life as a recluse, as a shut-in. And they didn't actually discover all of her poems until after her death. So they've tied in this sort of damsel in distress in a castle piece that I would have never, ever thought of. And oh my gosh, that kid, that student group, knows this content. And now they have a chance to explain it back to you, and you have a concrete metaphor that you wouldn't have ever thought of, but you can point back to it and be like, hey guys, can we talk about Emily Dickinson? You know, the dragon and the tower lady? And right there, the entire narrative of that story comes right back out fresh for them, which is so, so cool. If you are interested in Rory Story Cubes, I think there are 4 like basic sets. I know they have different variants on the different types of them, but they have like the classic, which is just the random emojis. They have one called Actions, which are like, they're pretty much verbs but drawn out. So you'll see like someone jumping or someone like crying or somebody going for a run. You can get the one that's, I think, called Voyages, and that one has like all these different travel icons. So it's like, you know, a compass or an airplane or, you know, a map. And then they have one, I think it's called Fantasia, which is, I think, the set I was just describing with the dragons and the castles and things of that nature. Which is super cool because you can use individual sets independent of one another, or you can mix and match and mingle them together. So the journey and the voyage and that you're saying, you have to write a story, but you have to tie in one of each of these types of die. And that's really awesome too, because you have a lot of different ways you can go with it in the classroom to mix it up and to get kids thinking outside of the box. Because otherwise, what winds up happening is they become conditioned to say, this is author X. They were born on date Y and they lived in place Z. And that's really all they know about some dates and times if we're still making students memorize dates. But they don't really get a feel for who these people are and what they do. And you can do the same thing with just about any content. So you can be like, hey guys, explain to me the basics of cell structure, but roll these dice to do it. And suddenly you have to explain how a cell functions, but you have to use a trapeze to do it. Like, what a wild and weird way to think your way back into structure. Like, oh, well, I guess they're sort of, it's important that they're structured properly, because if they aren't structured like a trapeze, the cell will break down and they could fall off and that would be damaging. Or, you know, I'm kind of riffing, but you watch your kids do that. And to put them in groups and let them come up with those metaphors together, it's very creative, it's very collaborative, and ultimately it's very enduring because they had a hand in creating it. The only thing more powerful than content ownership is content authorship, because if you helped to make it come to life, of course you have a reason for wanting to see it survive. And that's been great. I love it as teams too. You can do a thing where like the team who is in the lead gets their pick of the die, and then they get to assign which group gets which die after that. So they can try to like stick their friends with like the hardest dice set for the day. Like, can you describe the Wild West as if it's a journey is very easy, versus can you describe the Wild West as if it's like a medieval fantasy is much, much harder. But that's great because there's this level of like gamesmanship and a little bit of fun competition, where students are are getting excited about interacting with the course content in ways that really is just as simple as a roll of a dice. So if you haven't had a chance to check out Rory's Droid Cubes, they are awesome. And those are just two or three examples of ways that you can make them happen in your classroom. I'm sure you can think of a million more. So I'd love to hear that from you. If you have used Rory's Story Cubes, or if you have something similar to the cubes and you've used them in your class, would love to hear it. Feel free to tweet at me. I'm at NehanEDU on Twitter, and let me know how this is working in your classroom. It's a great, very small, very easy thing that you could pick up today at the store and put in your classroom tomorrow. But if you already have a thing that's working similarly, let's have that conversation. Let's join in and let's roll the dice on some more professional learning together. Thanks again for tuning in this week. This is a small one. We keep it at about 10 or 11 minutes each week. These bite-sized ideas, we'll be back with another one next time. Really appreciate the listenership and the tweets on Twitter, so thank you guys and keep those coming. And I'll see you next time.